The children who are going to junior church, they may be dismissed at this time. They'll come back right at the end of the service. For those of you who are staying, if you'll turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. We're reading verses 13 through 17. If you're using the Bible that's in front of you, you can find that on page 939. We're 2 weeks into a three-week series on engaging in evangelism. Last week we talked about how everyone can be involved in evangelism simply by praying that God would raise up people to go out into the community and proclaim the good news and to disciple people, because discipleship and evangelism are not two opposite things, they are connected. As Nathan told me this morning, what was the word, Nathan? I can't find him. He's left. All right. He didn't want to hear this message. I think he called it evangelship. Because, you know, you're trying to put evangelism and discipleship together. Evangelship. That didn't go over with you guys. That's fine. Apparently it went over well with the people. I don't know. But it's together. Evangelism and discipleship, they're not two separate things. They actually flow into each other. You can't disciple someone without evangelizing, and you can't evangelize without discipling. They're both connected. And so that's part of what we've been talking about and what we'll continue to talk about. Today we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. And this is Paul writing to a church that he had never visited. He is writing ahead of time to say, hey, I'm coming. And here's why, and here's what I'm going to do while I'm there, and let me explain a lot about the good news before I get there. And so we're kind of peeking into Paul's preliminary letter to a church that he had never really visited. So let's read what God's Word has to say here in verses 13 through 17 of chapter 1. Again, this is God's Word. It is always true, always helpful. Always good for us to embrace and understand and learn from and live by. And here's what Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, writes. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Let's pray together. And Lord, we are thankful for your word. Would you please help us? Give us understanding. Give us a mindset that will help us to embrace the good news in a way that it is not only good news for us, but good news that we want to share with others. Empower us by your Spirit and give us encouragement to embrace your ways, your wisdom, and to know more of your love in the depths of our own heart, that it will spill over into the life that we live with others. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm interested, how many of you have had an experience something like this? Your power goes out in your house. Maybe it's because of a storm. Maybe the electric company is working on, you know, the power line somewhere and they turn it off temporarily. But, you know, your power. And, you know, you're trying to figure out what to do because there's no electricity in your house. So you're trying to, you know, walk around and figure out what am I going to do while the power's out? Can't cook on my stove. I can't, you know, open the refrigerator. I can't do all these things. So, okay, what am I going to do? And so you're walking around, and you walk into a room with no windows, and the first thing you do is you try to flip on the lights. That happened to you before? It's happened to me numerous times. And you feel foolish, right? Because you know that the power's out, and yet there's that reliance on it's going to be there. It's so much ingrained in who we are and how we live in this culture that we just, you know, try to flip on the light. But the power's not there, right? And we think, well, that's the way it should be on some level, that every time we, in America, in this country, we think that when we go to a light switch and try to flip it on, the power should come on, right? But in that situation, the power's not there. The opposite, I think, is true for us in the church when it comes to talking about the good news of Christ. That we don't think the power is there, and so we don't flip on the light switch. We don't do much when it comes to sharing our faith with others because we don't think there's any power. We're not really expecting power. In fact, one person mentioned to me last week after my sermon last week where I talked about how God promises His people power by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. And there was a joke that I thought you were going to go kind of Pentecostal there for a minute because you're talking about from the Holy Spirit. That's not a Pentecostal thing. That's a Bible thing, right? There's not one corner of the church that has a corner on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to all of us. And the power to do what God has called us to do has been given to all of us. And so there is a sense in which whatever God calls us to do, we should think, just like on the day when we go into the dark room and we flip on the switch, we expect that power is going to be there. We should expect the power is going to be there when we're engaging in what God has called us to do. And this passage, I believe, may help us to think that way if we let it sink in. Because in this passage, and I don't know if you caught it or not, but one of the main issues that Paul says, in fact, most people say that verse 16 and 17 is the thesis statement for the whole book of Romans, that the gospel is the means by which God displays His power to save. The gospel is the means by which God displays His power to save. See what Paul says in verse, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Think about what Paul is saying here. He is saying that this gospel message, this message that he wants to preach, the message that he is preaching, he says that it is the means by which God saves people. And not just saves them, but He demonstrates His power to save. Is that the way we think of the gospel? That it is His power at work for those who believe. I don't know if we're uncomfortable about talking about power, or if we're simply thinking that this power that is there, well, maybe it'll be there, maybe it won't be. Or if we've had experiences where we have maybe tried to talk to someone about Jesus and it didn't seem very powerful. And so we think, well, maybe there's not any power there. But you got to understand that what Paul is saying here, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The power of God for salvation for all who believe. It is a powerful message when people believe it. It's the power of God played in that message. Now think about the power of God. How many of us can, if we were asked, speak something into existence? Any takers on that? There's a story about an evangelist is actually speaking at a rally or something, and there was a heckler. And he said something about how God was so powerful that he created the entire universe, and the heckler stood up and said, well, if your God is so powerful to create a universe, I could create a universe better than that, than what your God did. And, of course, the evangelist said, I don't want you to create an entire universe. I just want to see you create a rabbit out of nothing. Can you do that? No? Then why are you saying you can create a universe greater than God? Now, see, there is power in God. God is powerful, and we say that all the time in the church, and we hear that all the time in the church. Do we believe that the means by which God presents His power, displays His power, is in the gospel? That's what Paul says. That the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So the real question, I guess, next is, if the gospel is the means by which God displays His power to save, what is the gospel? What is it? In our Sunday school class today in the fellowship hall, we asked that question. Each table had a group of people around it, and we asked, if someone came up to you and said, what is the gospel? How would you answer? And every table gave their answers. And of course, there were different kinds of answers, but they all centered around the same thing. But here's the thing. If we don't know the gospel, then of course there's no power. If we don't have the gospel in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, then of course the power is missing. Now, so what is the gospel? Well, the gospel basically, just generally speaking, is this. The gospel is the good news. It's good news. The gospel is the good news that God rescues sinners from the curse of sin through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel in a nutshell. It's the basic, bottom, foundational level, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that God rescues sinners from the curse of sin through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And unfortunately, that takes a lot of unpacking for us. We talked about this in our Sunday school class today, too. That part of what is problematic is that, and I mentioned this last week, that in our society, the people called the nuns are growing. And I don't mean nuns as those people who wear, habits and wear all black and go in a convent. I'm talking about the people who don't believe. When they fill out a form, they say nun, N-O-N-E, when it comes to religion. I have none. And that group is growing. And if that group is growing, and they are, and many of them are unchurched, many of them are people who don't know what the scriptures say, what the gospel is about, then if we start talking about the gospel with them, and we're using terms that they don't know, or they don't understand, well then, that's going to have an impact, isn't it? Because they're not able to believe the gospel message if they don't understand it, if they don't know what we're talking about. And so, for the power of God to be displayed in a sinner's life, we have to understand that the good news is the message that God rescues sinners. So we have to, in some sense, we have to recognize, okay, well, am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? Are you a sinner? Are the people around us, are we sinners? Okay, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a sinner? The scriptures say that sin is lawlessness. But okay, we say, well, I'm a law-abiding citizen. You know, so what's that have to do with anything? Well, you know, sin is anything that doesn't conform to what God says things should be like. Okay? So, and that's our actions, that's our words, that's our attitudes, that's sin. Anything that doesn't conform to what God has said, this is good, this is right, that's sin. And if we're honest with ourselves, every single one of us has sin in our lives. Everyone. And that's not a bummer message. That's a message where we have to recognize that you have to understand the truth before you can have the good news. In fact, if you don't understand that you're a sinner and you need forgiveness, you need grace, you need mercy, then there is no good news for you if you don't think you need it, right? If I'm just saying, hey, I'm a good guy and I'm right with God, and just because I do good things, I have no problems, I have no issues, I'm a good guy. I don't hear the good news, right? I don't hear it because it's not good news to me because I don't think I need it. But for those who understand that the gospel is the good news, that God rescues sinners from the curse of sin through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, then we recognize that from the very beginning, way back when Adam and Eve were our first parents, and they sinned, they did what was wrong in the sight of God. They did something that He told them not to do. And from that point on, every one of us have fallen into that same trap. Every one of us. And the good news is that God could have said, well, I'm done with that. No hope for them. Instead, in His love, He says, I'm going to rescue people who are sinners, people who have fallen away from Me, people who have rebelled. I'm coming to get them in My Son. And My Son will go to the cross, and He will bear that curse on His own body and die, even though He doesn't deserve it. And He will do that for people who are sinners. And all who look to Him in faith, their sins are nailed to the cross. That God doesn't hold those sins against them anymore. As the scriptures say, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't condemn people who trust in Jesus. So many of us have this idea of a condemning God. And yeah, God does condemn sin. He does. He hates sin. But throughout the scriptures, we read also of a God who loves. Who loves people like me and people like you. People who have done wrong things. People who have sinned. People who have fallen short. That He loves them and has shown that love in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to die for them and rise from the dead for them, that they would be forgiven, that they would have life, that they would have be brought into the family of God, that this curse of sin would be eliminated from them. That's good news. And this amazingly gracious gift of God, this salvation, this rescue from the curse of sin, from the condemnation that God hates sin, but He loves us and He brings us into a right relationship with Him through the love of Jesus, through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. This amazingly gracious gift of God is received by faith. Well, that's even better news, because it's not Jesus came to die for our sins and rise from the dead and now it's all up to you. You got to really work hard. Work hard, Christian, or you're not going to make it. Do better. Do more. You got to be a good person. You got to read your Bible every single day. And if you miss a day, oh boy, who knows what kind of condemnation God might bring on you. That's not the good news. No, the good news is we receive this salvation simply by believing, by trusting that this is true for me, that Jesus died and rose from the dead for me. That's what Paul says in this passage. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, because it did come to the Jews first, but also for the Greek, also for the Gentile. People all over the world. It doesn't matter if you've been churched all your life or not. If you believe, the gospel is the power of God for your salvation. It doesn't matter if you have been a murderer or if you just kind of cheated on your taxes. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. It's the good news that it's by grace that God gives us all of these good gifts in Christ, and we receive it simply by saying, I believe. And we really do believe that it's true. And not just true in some general sense, but it's true for me. Jesus died for me. He loves me. And when we experience that power of God for salvation, when we're brought out of darkness into light, that we're brought out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God, that we are brought into the family of God, it is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing. And because it is God who is at work in the gospel, we need not be ashamed of the gospel. That's part of what Paul is saying here, right? Because it is God who is at work in the gospel, we need not be ashamed. That's what Paul is saying here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation. Now, some people try to read into this passage that maybe some people were trying to make Paul feel ashamed for the message that he was preaching because it sounds too good to be true. What do you mean? All I got to do is believe this and I have it. I don't have to, clean up and get dressed up and do all these things to receive the grace of God. What? You mean it's not a, I've got to do a lot of good works and then God will receive me if I pass a certain amount? Are you saying it's just a gift? They freely give it, and the only thing that I need to do is receive it? Are you kidding me? Do you know if you preach that, what that's going to do to people? And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this message. I'm not ashamed of it at all. It is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. So yeah, bring it on. You can criticize me, you can say whatever you want, but this is the full message. This is the good news that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, and it's the grace of God given to that eternal life is given to us freely, and I receive it simply by believing. Now, does that faith then lead to other things? Yeah, it does. As the Reformers mostly said, it's faith alone that brings salvation, but it is a faith that is not alone. If there really is salvation, if you've really been rescued, there's going to be fruit in your life of some sort. There's going to be some action that's going to show that you really do belong to God, but don't get the cart before the horse, as the saying goes. You don't measure up first. And then God brings you in. God brings you in, and then He grows you in His ways. That's part of the good news. And so we need not be ashamed. Just like Paul was not ashamed, we need not be ashamed of this gospel because it's the power of God. In fact, because God's power is displayed in the gospel, we, like Paul, can be eager to tell others about Jesus. We can be eager to tell others about Jesus. Just like he says in this, he says in verse 13, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers. I've intended to come to you, but I've been prevented thus far. I've really wanted to come and visit with you, but for various reasons, I haven't been able to come. And the reason I want to come is that I want to reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. And then he says, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. And when I read that, when I hear the word obligation, and maybe you're like this too, you think, okay, responsibility, duty, well, I got to do this. It's my responsibility. I've got to do it. Just work, 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 right? And maybe you don't want to do it, but you got to do it. But that's not how Paul sees that obligation. He says next, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. I'm eager. Why am I eager? Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And am I not ashamed of the gospel? Because it's the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And because God is in it, because God's power is displayed in the gospel, I can be eager to tell others about Jesus. I mean, think about it. When you find a good deal shopping, aren't you eager to share that good news with other people? When you go to a restaurant and it is like a really good restaurant where you find something that's just so delicious and you think, man, this is amazing, aren't you eager to share that with other people? When you go to see a good movie and you think, man, that is one of the best movies I have ever seen, aren't you eager to tell other people about that movie? Or if you're not a movie person, maybe it's a book or a TV show. I hear these conversations all the time and I participate in these conversations all the time. There's an eagerness to share something that means something to us that we think, this is great, I want to share this with other people. If we believe that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, we can be eager to tell other people about it, to share, to tell them, yeah, I want to tell you, just like I want to tell you about that new Netflix series that's so great, I want to tell you about the love of God in Christ. That's even better. Oh, maybe none of this is hitting you. But this is the point that I want to make next, that I feel like for me, and maybe it's just me, but if this helps you, so be it, that I need this next point. If the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, and we don't need to be ashamed, and we can even be eager to share, that's all good, but what's more is when we share the good news of Jesus with others, we are not responsible for the results. Can I say that again? Because I feel like it might need to be repeated. When we share the good news of Jesus with others, we are not responsible for the results. I think that many of us, me included, part of the reason that we don't share our faith is we feel like the entire thing lands on our shoulders. I've got to say the right words at the right time, in the right way, and if I don't, I'm not doing it right, and if I can't do it right, I'm just not going to do it. Right? But this takes some of the pressure off. It really does. If the gospel is the power of God, if the good news of Jesus is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, I'm not in charge of whether they believe. Right? I don't have that power. I can't make you believe anything. I can tell you things, but I can't make you believe. And if the power is God's power, not the power of my words, then I can trust God with the results. All I need to do is simply say what's true about Jesus and leave the results up to God. To me, that is really helpful. To know that the results aren't on my shoulders. Now, do we need to know the gospel? Yes. Do we need to be able to explain the gospel well enough that it's understandable? Yes. I mean, because if you say, well, the gospel is the good news that you have to work in order to be saved, well, that's not the gospel, right? So you do have to have the right message. But once you have the right message, you don't have to get perfect way of doing it. As we talked about in our Sunday school class today, you don't have to have a PhD in the gospel in order to be able to share the gospel with others. You just have to be willing to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. That Jesus saved me from my sin. And I love Him for that. I want you to know the power of God in your life through Jesus Christ. As one 20th century British evangelist said it, any method of evangelism will work if God is in it. Any method of evangelism will work if God is in it. So, where do we go from here? Well, last Sunday, I encouraged all of you to pray daily for God to raise up people who will engage in evangelism. I hope that you took that to heart and that you prayed for God to raise up people. If you did not, it's not too late. You can pray that as long as you have breath in your lungs. And I would encourage you to continue in that. But today, I want to do two things. First, if you're thinking, okay, I want to grow in this belief. I want to grow in the area of believing that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. I want to grow in that area. Well, have I got a Sunday school class for you? I mean, I've mentioned this several times today, but in the fellowship hall, we're doing a Sunday school class called Gospel Fluency. And what we're talking about in that class is basically this. How to become fluent, so fluent in the gospel that it flows out of you. That you don't have to think about it, you don't have to worry, you don't have to like process all this stuff, it becomes natural. Now, it would take a long time to probably grow in that, but this class is designed to kind of help us to start growing in that way. And I invite, if you are not already involved in a Sunday school class, please come. And be a part of that conversation. I think it would be good for us in that. But then the second thing that I want you to do is what I would ask you to do. I encourage you to do. Think of someone you know who is not a believer in Jesus. And think about what would it be like for me to just say something about Jesus to them. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to give, you know, the whole evangelism explosion outline or the four spiritual laws or the Romans Road or any of those things. Just something simple. Like, hey, I've been going to the Sunday school class where we're talking about the gospel and being fluent in it. And I just want to grow in that. Can I say something to you about Jesus? And if they say no, okay, fine. But you just start small. Or maybe it's just, you know, you're talking about things and someone says, you know, I'm really thankful for such and such. And you're talking about how thankful you are for something. And you just say, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for Jesus. And then you see what happens. I mean, just one word, one phrase, one sentence, and see what happens. I want to encourage all of you, or challenge you, if that is the case for you, try it and see what happens. Pray about it and try it. And then, when you tried it, talk about it with some other people. Share your story. Share your story with each other. Of, hey, I tried this, and this is what happened. It blew up in my face. But I did it. Or, you know, I said something, and we actually had a conversation. Now, the person didn't immediately become a believer, but we had a conversation. Or maybe one of you will have that. Hey, I talked to this person, and they said, I have been waiting for someone to tell me this good news. Who knows, right? Until you do something, you never know what God might do. And if the gospel is really the power of God, who knows what you might unleash? Some good. So instead of being ashamed of the gospel, let's be confident in the power of God in Christ for the salvation of all who believe. And I encourage us all to pray along with me as I pray for that for all of us. Let's pray. Lord, we don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. We know that it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And Lord, we admit that evangelism is sometimes a weakness of ours. Where there is unbelief in our hearts, challenge that and change it by your power, by your Spirit. Give us confidence that we can sow seed, that we can water seed, but you will give the growth. That we don't have to worry about the results. We simply are called to be faithful to speak the good news. Will you help us to do that? Will you help us to encourage one another to grow in this gospel fluency, in this being able to let the gospel flow out of us in our words and even in our actions? Will you help us in this so that we grow up to be even more of the church you called us to be? Empower each of us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.